Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? This is it right here and now with Wardell Potts Jr., Don Flemings, and Coach Rael Simmons. When those guys come in, we will turn their mics on. But in the meantime, I'm just so excited because it's been the whole weekend. I've been away from you guys. And, you know, I love this. I really love what we're doing, especially today, talking about the messages in the songs. That's such a blessing because there's so many beautiful songs out there or just amazing blessings in the songs, the message that's in the songs. So obviously there's other songs with messages in it that are not so good for the soul, but you know, it's up to you as an individual what you would like to let into, you know, into your heart. because, you know, what you let in, it's going to do. Music is so powerful. It's an amazing tool that it does what it does without your permission. So that's why we always say be careful, you know, what you listen to and what you hang out with, because it goes in and it just starts to do things. And before you know it, you're saying things that you wouldn't normally say. You're doing things you wouldn't normally do because you have been manipulated by the influencement of whatever the lyrical content was and the purpose of those songs were meant to do. You become a victim of it. So we have to really be careful about, you know, what we listen to, what we allow in, you know, our bodies, you know, they come through, you know, our hearing, and also through vision, you know. So it's a lot going on. It's a lot to unpack here. And so I really look forward to our conversation and just talking about it and making sense out of it and being a blessing to each other in it, you know. So I'm so excited. Let me see. Yeah, Tuesday. You guys ready for Thanksgiving? Got a couple more days and then you're going to get fat. We're going to have a good time. It's just so much that goes on with Thanksgiving. And it's the food is like the main course, right? It's the main part of what we're there for, to, you know, to share a Thanksgiving dinner with each other. But the thing that's, to me, that's more important to me is just the gathering of loved ones. You know, they come together. They haven't seen each other all year, you know, and man, it's just a nice opportunity to do family. And so I'm always excited about that. And for some of us, you know, we're meeting new family members, you know, new kids that have maybe been born, you know, or cousins that you never met before, or cousins that you never hung out with. You knew the day you were there, you met them, but now you guys are all going to get together for the first time and celebrate Thanksgiving together. So it's always exciting and always something new. So, but at the same time, you know, I want my friends and everyone to be careful, because it's rough out here. It gets really, sometimes people lose track of the importance of being focused, and they just get so caught up in the hype and the excitement of going somewhere and doing something that they're not paying attention to, you know, what they're doing, how they're driving, what they're doing. Are they drinking and driving? Are they just so excited about partying that they can't wait, so they just start doing it already, right? And we put ourselves in harm's way like that, a lot of us, a whole lot of us, and people die. Like, it's always the statistic after the holidays that's really frightening and really sad, when they say, okay, so throughout the Thanksgiving holiday, we lost this many people. That's terrible. So we don't want to be a victim of it, and we don't want to be the cause of it either. So I'm asking my friends to really please be careful. And if you know that someone is drinking and driving, please stop them. Don't allow it, especially if they're in the car with you. You're in the car with them. Don't allow that to happen. Don't become a victim of circumstances because you didn't say something or because you felt uncomfortable saying something. That's why you need to say something, because you feel uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you something, because I'm uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable with you drinking and driving us. So how about if you don't, you know, let someone else drive, and when you sober up, then you can get behind the wheel. I mean, we really have to take this serious, because we're talking about human life, and we can, you know, people that are this is the craziest statistic. People that are usually intoxicated in accidents, they are not the ones that get hurt. It's everybody else, because they didn't flex. they didn't, you know, they just kind of was just so intoxicated that it just happened. I mean, look at Lady Diana, right? Her driver, he was tore up driving them and killed them, and he was fine. It's just sad, but this is what happens all the time. So don't let that person that will probably continue to live after you're gone be in charge of getting you somewhere. Please make sure that you're safe. All right. So anyway, I'm not here to preach. I am here to look out for my friends and have a good time with you guys. So don't forget that. So what we're going to be talking about today, like I said, it's really about the message in the songs and stuff, which is very heavy, which is really cool. As a matter of fact, my friend Greg came up with that idea. And so I was like, wow, right, okay, that'd be good. That's something that I'm really going to enjoy. So once I have my guests on, we will go there, okay? And so this is a great opportunity for me because it's something that I really love. I love talking about this kind of stuff, and I really look forward to it. So you guys kick back and relax and enjoy. It sounds like somebody's moving.
I'm What's here. Up? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. There we go. So we are just talking about, you know, the songs that we're going to be talking about and stuff. So I want you in the switchboard as soon as you can, because I know that you have some songs that you want to share with us and stuff, in terms, you know, of songs that may have affected you. And if anyone, you know, if you want to just share your story, you know, about a song that affected you, please feel free to send us a message through SolarRecordsRadio@gmail.com or through Messenger. I'm on Messenger. And just, you know, get in touch with me and just, you know, tell me what song affected you, and maybe change the course of your life, change the direction that you're going in, and you're so grateful for that song. Okay. So anyway, so I'm gonna play another song, and then we'll get chopping up with Don Fleming and myself, and the coach will be coming on as soon as he gets set. All right, so guys, kick back, relax. Thanks so much for tuning in to Solar Records Radio, and we'll be right back after this.
All right.
life and love ever.
You ever
listen, you ain't even gotta text me.
Nope.
Knowing me and you got that mental telepathy, meet me up at the spot, I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich little bread, they popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm. Sex in the greatest form, then hibernate under my body. And yep, I keep you warm, but in a chinchilla. You know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's cause 7 days a week you're my five-course
baby,
meal for real.
Play a song that I want to talk about. So get it right back.
You fill up my senses like night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again. Come let me love you, let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter, let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you, let me always be with you. Come let me love you, come love me.
Beautiful to me. It just really blows me away. And I want to share with, we have all of our guests on the line, the coach, Ryel Simmons, the scientist, and Don Fleming. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you? My...
Good.
Good, good. So you guys never met each other? This is my co-host, Don Fleming, coach. I call coach because that's like, he's been my friend for so long. He was the coach when I met him. And so he's a scientist now. And so, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself to the listeners so they'll get an idea of who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Rael Sims, and I'm a neuropsychologist, neurocognitive psychologist, and I'm a counselor and, of course, a coach, behaviorist and sex educator. I also teach body language and neuroscience for Optimine Institute and NeuroCore Research Institute as well. And I'm also a trainer for Prepare and Enrich. I help psychologists and therapists and counselors, coaches and pastors to help use the assessment tools for Prepare and Enrich. And I also help corporations to create neuroscience of synergy amongst employees, employers. And I'm a premarital counselor, speaker, and I'm a consultant for the film industry too. So I, you know, help people when they're writing the script. I add the science into it when it comes to their relationships. And I also have a program just to help people detox from breakups. And, you know, before they venture out into the relationship arena, I help them to become more of a conscious dater. And so my leading authority is neuroscience, neuropsychology, neurobiology, neurochemistry, and just to help people understand why we do what we do from an eco-bio, psychosocial, and spiritual point of view. Yeah.
All right. Now, Coach, I know that you have your own system set up over there. Is there any way you can put more treble on your microphone?
Probably so.
Yeah, because it right now has a lot of mid-range, and I want to, it sounds a little muffled, and I just, what you are saying is so powerful, and I want to make sure that everyone can hear.
Is that a little different, a little better, or still the same?
It's still the same. I'm going to turn this music off in the background.
Still muffled.
There you go. Are you there?
Still muffled.
But it's okay. I turn the music up. That'll help us to. Don, can you hear Coach good?
I can hear. I can definitely hear.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear. You know, can you hear him clearly?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
is that a little better? Just a little. Or is that still muffled?
It's okay. I maybe back off the mic just a tad. You might be collapsing the mic. So, yeah, but it's okay. It's all good. And thank you for sharing that.
I could call back without my system.
Okay, want to try it?
I think that'll work.
Yeah, let's see what happens there. In the meantime, I'm going to have Don just help us out a little bit. Don, I wanted to, okay. Coach, why are you doing that? You know, I'll talk to Don real fast. He's going to call back in. Good. So, let me figure this out. Don,
you're good.
Are you there?
You're good. Yeah,
okay,
I'm
cool.
Here.
All right. So you hear all those different things. I mean, good gracious. I mean, he has a lot on his plate, and he's always, like, he finds a way to answer questions that some of his listeners, I mean, I listen, you know, he and I worked together before, and I've listened to him. When you've worked on that for so long. Yeah. So, Coach, can you say something, Coach?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's much better. Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So anyway, let's just get to the topic of the show, Don. But Don, is there anything you want to say before we get to the topic?
No, I'm ready. I mean, I'd love to, you know, because of your acumen, man. I'm just excited to hear, you know, your insight on the topic today. So. I'm like a fly on the wall right now.
He always says he's so silly. All right. So I want to, you know, how has music helped you through life's traumatics, right? So let's say the message is in the music. So how has music helped you through life's traumas, right? And so this is, you know, so we have a couple different things. The message is in the music, right? We know that. The message is in the music. And I was sharing with the listeners, it's, you know, we have to be careful because we have to be careful about what messages we are listening to. And sometimes we're listening to things that are really not healthy for us. And it goes in and it does what it does without our permission. And it's kind of a scary situation. So we really need to pay attention to what we're listening to. And, you know, for me as a songwriter, I'm always writing about love because that's what I love. I love love. So I write intentionally about love and to try to stay away from the darkness and the dark side. And sometimes I will write a sad song, but it would be the ultimate goal is to get back to love. You know, and so it's because, you know, when people break up, it's a sad situation, especially if they really love each other and they just weren't unable to figure out how to salvage this relationship and they ended up breaking up. And I write about those kind of things as well. And they're kind of a little sadder, but I try to get to, you know, ultimately by the end of the song, the goal, or by the bridge of the song, you know, getting back to love, whether it's with someone else or, you know, or the same person. But anyway, I wanted to just talk to you guys and ask you, what are your thoughts about the message, the music, the messages in the music? And let me start with Don.
Actually, I'm going to defer to the coach because okay. I think this is, because I just, you know, the insight of the topic is so broad to me. I just wanted to kind of just hear your thoughts on it, on the topic. And then I'll just kind of, I'll jump in and kind of give my two cents.
Hey, Coach,
I don't know if I can follow it.
Coach, what did he call that on your on your show when the person don't want to sing? What did he call it?
A lifeline.
Oh, wow.
A lifeline. So you got to be down with lifeline.
Oh, yeah.
So Coach, you want to talk about the messages in the music?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I'm glad that you said that because me coming up with Love Songs of Lessons, the show that I have, and you and I, we've been trying to do this live for a few years, right? And one of the reasons why I actually thought about this is because back in the day, Love Songs was actually our therapy, you know, because black folk didn't, back in the day, we didn't go, right? You know, it's like, I'm not going to therapy. I'm not going to counseling. But it was
didn't even know what
messages.
It was.
Huh?
Some of us, I mean, as a young person, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Because we didn't hear it.
Oh,
we
I thought something was wrong. Like, something was really wrong with you. You got to go to counseling. Like, you did something wrong. You did something wrong, right?
Right.
So taboo in the black community.
Right. Absolutely. And like you said too, Wardell, you know, it was looked upon as, well, you know, I'm crazy, something's wrong, you know, but
right.
Mental health is the same as physical health, right? You know, so it's, and it doesn't also necessarily mean it has to be mental health either. It could just be a challenge in your relationship that you just don't realize, right? Something that you're doing, it has nothing to do with mental health. You know, it might, but it may not. Also, it's just something that we aren't aware of when it comes to having the relationship tools. That's when we hear in our love songs, we actually hear the messages and, you know, everyday life, everything that happens in relationships, right? Like, you know, you're not giving me what I need. You're not giving me what you said you were going to give me. And so I found myself loving someone else who's given me, you know, what I'm not getting at home. And people actually, you know, write these songs about it, you know, and I'm so shocked that when I actually look up these songs, that it was so many songs. I'm like, wow, you know, but it is just real life, right? Mm-hmm. And not only love or love songs, but just songs, period, that have messages in the songs. When people can't, they find themselves, hey, I want to do something about certain issues that are happening right now. And me as a vocalist, how can I actually do something? Or you can do something in your song, right? You can write something in your song like Marvin Gaye, right? You know, when it comes to a political issue, you know. So listening to those songs have, you know, messages in it. Not only that, I met a clown, an African-American clown, when I lived in Chicago. I was a carrier. And we was talking about mail and everything, because I was giving her mail, and I didn't know she was a clown. I was like, oh wow. She said, yeah, I go to different schools and everything, and hospitals as well. So she started breaking down. She said, you know, the songs that we used to sing even back in the day, even in slavery time, when they say London Bridge is falling down, that really was a message to tell other slaves that we're getting ready to escape, right, over the bridge. And I was like, wow, you know. So messages, and, you know, there was times, too, when tribes, Native Americans and other tribes, you know, send messages through drums, right? You heard a certain kind of drum beat, and you knew what that drum beat meant. So, yeah.
Right. Well, so I want to ask you this, then. Can you explain to us the chemicals that the brain releases when it hit with music?
Yeah. So one, we know it's our auditory. So, you know, the music goes into the ear, into the auditory part of the brain. But when we hear something stimulating or something that's going to remind us of a good thing, you know, a good event that we experienced in our lives. Say, you know, our first love, or someone that we may had a relationship with, our puppy love, right? That's what we called it back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. And you hear that song actually could be very stimulating, because what it does is it adds an effect on our dopaminergic part of the brain, the mesolimbic dopaminergic part of the brain. And that's the area that releases dopamine, right? And that dopamine actually trigger the VTA, the ventral tegmental area, the caudate nucleus accumbens area. Well, that's our pleasure center part of the brain. So when we hear that music goes into another area of our brain that is called the hippocampus. So the hippocampus is where we store long-term, short-term memory, right? And when we know the brain stores that good memory, something that happened to you that was very stimulating, and it stayed in your brain. So every time, and it may have happened during that song, right? And so when you hear that song again, it's ironic. I mean, it's just totally crazy, man, where when you hear this song again, it actually, like, it's going into your file cabinet, right? And it pulls out something familiar to that song, and it brings out that actual event that you experienced. Right. And that actual event can actually stimulate you. Yeah.
Yeah, because I say that all the time. Like, when you play in these old school songs, you know, can take you back to a moment. So is that the same thing? Is it those songs have made
absolutely?
They have a file cabinet in my brain, and so when I hear that song, it goes right back to, wow, okay.
Yeah. It also, the stimulation, it gives us a sense of. You've heard of fight or flight, you know, it's the same experience that we have when the glucose core cortisol So the glucose, you know, that gives us that energy, that sugar, that, you know, the either to fight, you know, this fire or either to run from the fire. So it's borrowing different sugars from different parts of our bodies, you know, and glucose to give us more energy. Well, you know, when we hear the song, you notice everybody screams, right? Oh, you know, oh, that's my jam, right? And that's what the body is actually doing, experiencing an altered state of consciousness, a euphoria, a high, right? And in that moment, you are now, it stimulated that file cabinet, that pretty much that file. And that's what gives you that rush. And so now you're actually experiencing a rush of dopamine, which is these natural chemicals, natural drugs, right? And it's actually making you high in that split moment. Yeah.
Okay, that's heavy, man, because, I mean, you know, we know, like, at least I should say, I know that it what's happening to me, but you're like really breaking it down, like if you're my doctor. So what are you trying to tell me? Is something wrong with me? can you break? Because I know that I get excited. Like there's a song by the SOS band. They have a song called Baby, We Can Do It, right? Take Your Time is the name of the song. Take Your Time. We can do it. Yeah. So every time I hear that song, it makes me so happy because I keep thinking, why is that happening? Why is it that song makes me so happy? I remember that my career was taking off and it was life was good and things were wonderful. And so, but the only reason I figured that out is because I was curious. I wanted to know. So I started thinking so hard about it until I took myself back to that moment. And I remember when I say moment, moment in time. And I just remember. That's and right. Around that time when that song was out, I really felt good about myself. And so it made me, so when I hear that song, it reminds me of how I felt good. I felt so good. So every time I hear it, I just feel good. And this is, it's crazy how how this information is stored in your brain, right? I'm just thinking, I'm not thinking that it's stored. I'm just thinking it just happens. It's just like a baby. How are babies made? They just happen. No. Right? But I'm just like, how does that, I never thought about how does that happen, you know, but, you know, from a scientific point of view, but that dopamine thing is really, ooh, man, oh, man.
Deep, very deep.
So my friend, one of the listeners said dopamine is released when we eat chocolate. So does listening to music have less calories?
Right. And actually, too, that's something, too, because when it comes to women as well. So what else is in chocolate? So when dopamine, what causes dopamine to be released when you eat chocolate is phenylethylamine. So phenylethylamine is also So phenylethylamine is also a bonding chemical that's in chocolate. And so, you know, most people don't realize when they say or when you see Valentine's Day and everything and people are saying, oh, yeah, you know, you get hooked on you get hooked on chocolate. But they don't realize, too, what compound
that's in chocolate.
That's in chocolate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So is that the same thing? Is that the same thing with people? Like, I'm hooked on this girl, but it's not maybe not exactly. The girl. Is what's in her has got me hooked on her. You know, characters and personalities. Like this, it's her personality.
Look, when we are pair bonding with each other, we are actually giving each other our drugs. We are actually feeding each other our drugs. What's in us is we're giving it to them. Now, And I do mean that literally, too, as well. So I'm not just talking about verb. I'm not just talking about action.
Yes, yes.
I am actually talking about the chemicals that's in me. I'm also giving it to you through smell, right? So when you smell, you are actually inhaling your significant other's, what we call human leukocyte antigens and the major histocompatibility contract. So that is actually going into our system. And the human leukocyte antigens is actually DNA that is coming out of your sweat glands that is actually going into my nose. And
wow.
It is actually saying, okay, this makes a match, the major histocompatibility complex. And the major histocompatibility complex breaks down the system. It breaks down your DNA, and it tells you too. This is what makes or breaks. This is why we don't pursue the person any longer, is because it actually tells us, I'm going to reject that person's DNA, and I don't like this person. So you don't pursue it anymore. You know, after that first date or first encounter. Because the body says the DNA does not have the opposite match that I need, because that's actually what keeps us together, is the opposite match. So we are taken in, as you said, Wardell, we're actually taken in what's in that person. So, yeah.
Well, all right. Don, I'm going to ask another question from the listeners.
Okay.
Unless you want to jump in?
No, I wanted to ask, you know, I was a history teacher, so, you know, I kind of get back into that historical type mode, so I apologize in advance. But I wanted to kind of
ask you, because I love the history.
I wanted to kind of understand how, you know, all of those things were connected as far as our liberation, as far as when we sung hymns as slaves, as far as means of escape. But can you elaborate? It's not a question in particular, but can you elaborate on how, you know, certain those scientific terms, how what those were as far as, you know, singing hymns, as far as, you know, the moment that we were in, you know, destitute, being slaves in bondage, to,
yes,
to, at least just having those hymns to speak in codes, and how did,
yes,
that, how did that have an effect, and just some of the scientific words,
yes,
behind those.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only speaking in codes, but it also was used as a coping mechanism. This is how we survived. We survived,
yeah,
through those songs. You know, this is what this, you know, when we talk about a relaxation and bringing our immune system, when we're in that fight or flight, you know, the songs,
mm-hmm,
were the medicine to actually relax us, to bring us down, right? We needed that song. Song was a medicine to us, like, you know, like when you hear people say, comedy is a medicine too, as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Laughter.
Mm-hmm.
The songs for us during that period was important for us. That's what kept us going. You know, that was feeding our system. It was feeding our body. It was giving us that energy, that relaxation, that hope too, as well, and
mm-hmm,
the coping mechanism. It helped us to make it to the next day. You know, and,
mm-hmm,
and that's what those words and the song and the hymn, just the term hymn, right? You can moan, you know, you could, what's the other term when you're just, when you, what's that term? What's
just
the term?
Hum.
Help me, guys.
Hum.
Just humming.
Humming?
When you're just humming. Humming was relaxation because you knew the words even if you didn't sing the words, right? And
mm-hmm,
you hum the words, right? And the lyrics that was in those songs were lyrics of hope, lyrics of spirituality,
mm-hmm,
you know, lyrics of you know, it's gonna be okay, lyrics of escape tonight, right?
And lyrics of love.
lyrics of love. Lyrics of love. Look, there was when other tribes, other slave plantations, people mm-hmm. would run from one plantation to the other plantation, would sneak out of the plantation to run to somebody else's plantation out of love, and took a chance of getting caught, not to escape,
right.
but just to go to another plantation for love, right? That's just how strong, and
mm-hmm.
that's just how strong those chemicals are too as well, right?
Wow, that's
yeah.
that's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, just the thought of that, because people were putting their lives on the line to do that, but that's the power of love.
That's the power. That's the power of love, and
yes.
the power of the words that was in these lyrics.
And the power of those,
you know,
chemicals, those chemicals that were put into us to be a blessing to us in the storm. Those people,
mm-hmm.
that was hard. That was hard living.
That was hard, man.
Not knowing if you're going to make it to the next day.
To the next day.
You didn't know.
To the next day.
Right. So,
and whenever you were beaten, whenever something happened to you, that's what they did. They sung over you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They sung over you like a child.
Right.
And that puts you to sleep.
Yeah. And that's those were our angels. Those songs were like angels, you know, letting us know that it's going to be okay. You're loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people, the slaves are out there singing to each other and stuff, even though. And that's what the slave master thought as well, not knowing that they were smart enough to use the singing to tell each other when we're going to get out of here and the way we're going to do it. They didn't know that they were using it as, you know, a way of communication. They thought they were just singing to each other, you know. And so that's the good thing. I love that part of it. It's
wow.
like take that to use that not just – to be a blessing to you in a bad situation, but also to be a blessing to you to get you out of the bad situation. Like,
whoa, yes.
It was like, whoa,
yes.
We can use this.
Yes.
So from the listener, can you talk a little bit about the chemical oxytocin?
Yeah, oxytocin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's about that's like the so-called love hormone or something?
It's a bonding chemical. So oxytocin is something that we do have to worry about too as well when we are venturing into the relationship arena, because if we're not careful, we could be addicted to the oxytocin from another person, and we don't know much about this person.
Yeah.
So what actually happens is it makes us think that we're in love with this person, but we're actually we're basing this relationship or the feeling that we're actually experiencing based on those chemicals, based on those neurotransmitters, and that oxytocin is the bonding. So, you know, also to help people understand a little bit more about what it is too as well, it, you know, when the mother and child, when the mother is actually having a baby, when the baby is now out, the mother is actually releasing oxytocin during that period. So the first thing the mother wants to do is what? She wants to hold the baby, right? And when she, that's, you know, because the oxytocin is being released, right? And
right.
that's what's bonding her. Mother and child, and that's actually what we get the love from instantly is from that oxytocin. That's amazing how God created this, right? That is
mm-hmm.
actually what bonds you instantly is once you have that child, and also during breastfeeding. So when you're doing the breastfeeding, you're also giving the child and receiving oxytocin during that period too as well. So that's helping bonding the child to you, right? So the same when we are intimate
wow.
with someone that we don't really, you know, have much information about that person. If that person causes you to release oxytocin, you will yearn for that person, and you will also want to see that person again, because you have just bonded yourself with this person, and you could feel that. And now it's not in every event, but you know, most of the time, if that person actually releases oxytocin in you and you find yourself thinking about this person, wanting to be with this person, thinking that you're in love with this person, but it's actually the body is now yearning for this person who released oxytocin in you. But if you think, I really like this person or I really love this person,
right.
But you don't know anything about the person.
But it's not like this person has like a remote control and they push them. I'm going to release some oxytocin. Right? It just happened. How does that happen? I mean, how does it – is their body saying, oh, this person makes me feel a certain way, and when they feel that way, this oxytocin, whatever you call it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's released from the hypothalamus part of the brain, but it only releases if you are actually really stimulating me and if my human leukocyte antigens are telling me, too, that we have the opposite match DNA. So if those DNAs and you're being stimulated, and then once you're being stimulated, if it's being released, if that oxytocin is being released through that intimate engagement, and, you know, it's oxytocin is also a trust hormone, too, because now, it's where you trust the person. So oxytocin can also be released without being intimate as well. And that's that trust part of the component part of oxytocin too as well. So it's also a trust neurotransmitter too as well. So yeah.
Wow,
have to be careful. You got to be careful that I have a video that I spoke at a church one time. It was years ago, and my thing is you got to just. You know, especially for women, you got to slow down. You got to make it. You got to take your time, and do it slow. You know, so because you rush into it, you're thinking, you know, it's all good, and we love each other and all that. And not that some people don't meet, and all of this, this euphoria all at once happen and that they don't get married. And that does happen too, you know, sometimes because it is a match, right? And I hit pushback with some people, but a match is a match. And if you find that match and then you find you get to know each other better too as well, about social compatibility, because it's important to have social compatibility and a major histocompatibility as well. So when you have both the chemistry and the social compatibility, then it's really good. That is the combination. So then you got it going on, and most likely you're going to be together, you know, for a very long time.
Our listeners are amazing because they say stuff that maybe I'm thinking, but I don't know how to say it. But
I want to tell you this first of all. Your listeners are very intelligent. I just want to say, because they're coming up with stuff. I'm like, okay.
Thought you were going to say I was very intelligent. Thank you.
Yes, I'm very intelligent.
You got to clean that one up. Clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, I got to clean that up. You're very intelligent, too. You're speaking up very well. You're able to say the names that you're
in my own mind.
You'll be able to say the name. So, it's pretty hard to try to pronounce some of these terms, right?
So anyway, yeah, that's true. And so this is another thing they just said. It says this music is like an empathetic friend. It comforts me because it's familiar, and I know it can't hurt me or let me down. It's like, what the crap? So music is like that. It's not intimidating at all. It's absolutely, and it does comfort you. And it's like, and so we go to that in the time of need. We'll go to music. And so when I played that song for you guys earlier about from John Denver, it says, it even starts off saying, you open my senses. Like your senses, like, it's like you're tapping into this things that you do to me that no one else can do. It's like my senses are wide open to you. They're excited. And is that the dopamine stuff that's happening right there and all those other words that I was
all, and all those other ones when it says you open up my senses,
yeah.
You know, there's so many and you know, there's so many things and you know, even
that's
if it's
tight.
Not touched, you know. But
yeah,
it opened up all of your senses, all of the senses that we talk about that we learned in school and everything, and senses that we don't even, that we're not even aware of biologically, right? Because we have more than just the five senses that we were taught, you know, but, you know, those are just primary ones, right? And all the other senses, too, that are being stimulated through just the process of listening to music and how that music is actually opening up. And yes, Music could be our significant other, right? Because like they said, I don't have to worry about you hurting me, right? You're not going to leave me, right? You're not going to desert me. You're not going to cheat on me, right? You know, I can come home and I can listen to you and we have that relationship all over again. Pour me a glass of wine, right? Or whatever you do, right? And sit back and cut on my girlfriend or cut on my boyfriend, right? And feel good and experience a wonderful, relaxing day, right? Whether it be classical music, jazz, you know, R&B, hip-hop, or rap. Yeah.
Well, let me go, Don.
I'm always I'm in my own world when I'm listening. I'm like,
okay.
I'm hearing all of these. My wife's a pharmacist too. And I'm hearing all of these terminologies and these big words, and I'm just like, wow, you know. but, with music, right? Exactly, and I think you see that correlation. And I want to, I want to get to a darker part of this, and again, we'll have that levity back. But and when I was 15, you know, I had thoughts of suicide. And a song that, you know, kind of got me through. And I wanted to, if it's okay with Wardell, I wanted to play it if we go into a song break. But I got it. but no, there was a song when I was 15 that kind of got me through. And the name of the song was called Keep On Moving by Soul to Soul. And I was, you know, it's 1989. I'm 15 years old, and I'm having these thoughts. You know, it's colorism. It's trying, you know, dating, and you know, it just it was. I felt like it was a lot of things that was, you know, was tripping me up a little bit, and that song really got me through. Now, a positive song like that goes to get all of my. Here I am saying words like endorphins and all of these things, but
absolutely.
How does when you're? I guess my question to you is, when a person is, and I'm sure you probably go through the kids who are, you know, having those suicidal thoughts and things like that, and they may have a positive song. How does that energy change you from a scientific terminology? How does a song like that get you out of that depression? And I know you explained it earlier, but as far as the suicidal level, how does that? Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, we experience opiates and serotonin, right? You know, when you are stressed and depressed, and your wife, is she there?
No. Unfortunately, she's not. I wanted to get her on.
Yeah. Because part of when you are given prescriptions for anxiety or depression, right? When you remember, you probably seen the commercials when they show the ladies that are depressed and then they have a certain prescription, and what that prescription is giving you is serotonin, right? And and opiates too as well with the music. So that is what stimulates us through the music, because we naturally stimulate the part where we experience the serotonin and the opiates and all the other different chemicals that we just talked about earlier. And And that is through the music and through stimulating the brain. I mean, it's so much more new research right now too as well, because I,
yes,
as a neuroscientist, I can't stop. I have to constantly every day, these young scientists, right? These young kids are constantly discovering more. I'm like, oh my God, I thought I already had in my brain what I could go and speak on the stage about, right? And then I have to say, oh, well, there's some new information, you know, because, you know, compared to what we know nothing about the brain, because there's so much more that we're learning about the brain. And the good thing about the brain is that it's plastic, right? So we could constantly add new information into it too as well. Yeah.
Right on, right on. Well, man,
all right,
Wardell, let's go ahead and go into that song. Yeah, let's go ahead and go into that song. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got more on the way. You guys keep it locked right here. I was going to say Soul Train Radio. Look, you know, see how you got me?
Hey, I danced Soul on Soul Train. Records.
we got to talk about that when we get back. When you guys keep it locked. This is Soul to Soul. Keep on moving on Soul Art Records Radio. That's amazing, man. What did you think about that soul, the soul song, Wardell?
It was a beautiful song, and it, you know, it, my heart hurt because, you know, I had never known that you had been there, and so I'm just glad that that song was a blessing for you, and we get to enjoy you, and so does your wife.
Thank you.
And so, wow, I'm now when I listen to that song, I have different thoughts about it.
You know, it's just, you know, we joke about it, and we talk about, for example, I talk about, you know, let's say Special Lady by Ray Goodman and Brown, and we talk about those moments. We pinpoint the moments that, you know, when that song came out, where were you? And I'm joking. I say, well, I was in kindergarten singing this song, you know? So
right.
It's one of those things, again, you pinpoint your life and where you were at that time. At that time, I was at, you know, 15 years old. You feel like you're at a dark place in your life. Again, I'm no different than probably any teenager growing up today. But I don't take this lightly, but I do say, you know, because again, at that time, you know, I had issues with my, you know, my skin color. I was dark skin and this and this and this and all of these things that was going on. And of course, you know, my awkwardness with the opposite sex. Go ahead.
This might be a hard question for you, because it's a hard question for me to ask. But I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't understand, you know, why you have a problem with your skin color. Like, I don't understand that. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I've been hearing all my life.
I am a proponent of that now. I love my skin now. But you know, when you're growing up and you go through the pressure of what's accepted. And acceptance and the standards of beauty. At that time, it was about, you know, the commercials. And I've had even family members, you know, at the time, you know, that were born in the early 1900s at the time. You know, I had great aunts that were born in 1912, you know, that kind of enforced that stereotype. You know, you better get you a light-skinned girl. You better this and this, you know, all of
what?
These things.
Wow,
oh, yeah.
I don't understand that mentality.
But again, that's another topic for another day. But, you've had all of these things as a 15-year-old, and you know, I kept my grades. You know, the good thing about it is, you know, I kept my grades intact.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's usually the first thing that goes. You did the opposite.
No, but
thank God.
But you know, I kept my grades intact, and you know, but these things were still kind of embedded in my mind, and it was that mindset because I grew up around a lot of family members, and I'll say it. There was a lot of self-hatred. You know, and I can look back on that and say that with confidence, but at the same time, I feel bad. I feel sorry for the time that, you know, they grew up, you know, growing up to Jim Crow, growing up through all of these standards. Everything you see, every shampoo commercial was about a woman with this long, beautiful hair. And it was all about this standard of beauty, and it's. You know, it was inundated in your brains 24/7 ad nauseum. So, you know, and just the fact that from a societal standpoint, you know, with the Birmingham, with the you know, you think about the image of the hoses on those kids in Birmingham and the dogs and, you know, the value of black life. And that was something that they,
you're
absorbing, you know, and maybe in a weird way, you know, they wanted it something better in my life to say, hey, when I get with someone, when I find that mate, she has to be this certain color. She has to be this. So your kids don't have to go. So a lot of people may say it's nonsense. It's not, oh, that's hogwash, but that was how they were brought up.
Wow.
And I can't fault them on that.
Yes. Wow. Well, you know, Coach, I want to ask you another question, but before I do, is there anything you want to say in regards to what was just being shared?
Yeah, I just want to say, too, you know, I'm sorry that you went through that, too, because I had a cousin that went through the same thing, and she's, you know, with a darker skin, and in that period, you know, it was all about light-skinned women, you know, and not, you know, not the dark skin. So I definitely understand. And, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, that happened during that period. Right. And now, of course, it's embraced, you know, what you said, Wardell, the darker the berry, you know, because they acknowledge now, you know. But and then unfortunately, probably, too. Now the lighter skinned people are like, you know, oh wow, nobody likes me, right? You know, back and forth, too.
Right.
So yeah,
it's all
like to share one song too, though, that I like to share. My experience, is that okay? Do you have time?
Please.
Yeah, you gonna play it to your sister?
Yeah. So I actually went through a difficult time trying to break up because again. When we're in relationships, when we talk about breaking up, when we talk about separating, when we talk about divorcing, when we talk about getting somebody out of our system, we're talking about all those chemicals that I mentioned earlier, right? And it's no different than a person addicted to drugs because we're addicted to their drugs, you know, the drugs that we inhale every day and the drugs that we accumulate by that person actually stimulating us by action and through chemistry and touch as well. So it becomes very challenging to actually separate that feeling instantly. You know, we go through this grieving process, you know, called breakup, right? And you know, I was in a relationship that was very challenging for me to get out. I could not leave this person alone. I couldn't get that person out of my system. And that person was eventually had went to visit their parents. And I still was addicted, you know. And I used Toni Braxton's song. Let it flow, let it flow, let it go. And so I used Tony, a lot of praying, and at that time I was working for a mental health institute at that time. And so I had a lot of friends that was already psychologists and, you know, I was going to school too at the same time. So, but, you know, got a chance to talk to them in prayer. But, you know, Toni Braxton's song, Let It Flow, Let It Flow, Let It Go, that song really helped. That song helped me. It helped me get through it, man. I'll never forget it. And me
Waiting to Exhale,
working
right?
in the – huh?
Waiting to Exhale, right, from the album,
yeah.
right? Well, that's from the soundtrack, Waiting to Exhale.
I'm not sure.
That?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was from the soundtrack of that. All I know is that it definitely helped. And
I
have not bumped into her yet working in the industry. You know, I have not seen her so I could, you know, tell her, you know. But, you know, I assume I'll bump into her one day.
Well, let us hear it.
Sweet.
Coach?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Coach, you want to play it through your system?
Oh, sure.
You want to play it through? You want to call back in? Because you have to reconnect to your system. I think you disconnected yourself, huh?
Oh, wait. Let me. Yeah. I did actually. Yeah.
Well, we can do it.
Yeah, we can do it afterwards. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, I want to just go back real fast. I just want to back up for a second. There was something you were talking about. And I just want to clarify what, you know, because I'm having a hard time here with what happened to me. Now, as you know, This happened to me a couple of times. And this was the difference between what happened to me and what you were saying about, you know, like we're getting chemicals and these chemicals that we smell that they're going in, you know, when you're around a person, such, such, such. I was not around this person. I fell in love with this person over the phone. And this happened a couple of times.
And oh, so, yeah.
What are those chemicals that we're dealing with that causes you to, you know, because I mean, they were far away. I mean, so I had my only connection was the phone. What's happening there?
Yeah. I'm so glad that you brought that up because, you know, I talk about this a lot, but I don't know, you know, Wardell, if your station is, you know, PG or what. I mean,
it's a Christian-based station, but we don't have any laws. So just, you know.
Yeah.
What is it what you have to say?
I just wanted
respectful.
To give an example. You know, we know that
it's an adult
billion
show.
Dollar companies. Okay. We know that there's billion-dollar companies that, you know, make a lot of money based off of people, you know, making phone calls, you know, and talking to women late at night, right?
Oh, right.
Right. So how does that really happen? You know, how can you get someone to actually spend that time and spend that money too as well? So we know, again, what I mentioned earlier, the auditory, so, you know, the sound that's coming in, but it's the voice, it's the sound, it's the tone. And this is how some artists became famous and not really realizing, hey, you know, nobody's going to want to hear my deep voice, right? Nobody's going to want to hear my rashy What do you call it?
Raspy.
That's it. Raspy. Nobody wants to hear that raspy voice, you know, or etchy voice, you know, but not realizing that those tones are stimulating, right? For instance, this is a tangential though, but I just wanted to go to when a woman is ovulating. Actually, it's a fact, too, that can also have an effect on when you're listening on the phone. When a woman is also ovulating, there's been many studies to show during ovulation, even if she's a dancer, she gets paid more, you know, but during the voice operators, then they make more money during ovulation because during ovulation, it changes the tone of the voice, too, as well. Ooh. And that is so we could also detect when she is actually fertile at the point where she can have a child, right? And so the tone of the voice has another major effect on our VTA, the pleasure center part of the brain. So listening to someone and also gaining information because, you know, the whole purpose of collecting data is to get to know each other, right? So the more information that you learn and that information that you're receiving, right, because it's communication, right? And when you're receiving the information through the channel, well, that information that you're gathering is information to tell you whether it's okay, whether it will be information pleasing to you. And when that information is pleasing to you, me using the word pleasing, then what is it pleasing? What is it doing? It's stimulating because it's saying, wow, you know, I like that she likes such and such. Wow, I like that she agrees with, wow. Well, what is that wow? What is that while? What is that? It's us, again, being stimulated, right? And we know that just as far as corporations to, you know, just to play on tonation, play on voice, play on the tone of somebody, play on the tone in vocals and tone on, certain singers, tone on. We're singing, but how about have a moment when the person doesn't sing, when the person mm-hmm. just talks. Baby, you know I miss you. I just want
Barry
you,
White-ish.
Right? You know, Barry White, right? Absolutely. You know, and we know that that stimulates. I remember a DJ, I won't say, you know, I worked at the radio station, and, you know, women used to sit on their speakers during his DJ time, right? And because of the vibration of the tonation of the voice, men with the deeper voice, too, as well, you know, got in the tribes, you know, was the male who actually got more of the women in the tribes because of his voice.
Mm.
And as you know, too, you know, like in the Bible, and they said we're looking for the men that had voices of many rivers, right? So learning about the person, but not realizing that not just only learning and being stimulated by the information that we're gathering, but also learning, hearing the tonation of that person. And that is very stimulating. So the more you hear that stimulating tone, that tone is now telling the brain, this tone is very stimulating and it makes me feel good. It makes my body feel good when I hear her. So every day and right now, when you hear your significant other's voice, it stimulates you still. Like when you go out of town and you hear your significant other, when you call your significant other, you've been out of town for a couple of days and you call her, and when she answers the phone, you discover that your body feels good. Like, oh, baby, hey, you know, and again, what happens when you go, hey, right? You're going through that altered state of consciousness, that euphoria that is stimulating the body. So it happens,
what's that chemical?
And it's still happening.
What is that chemical called?
That's all those chemicals. It activates everything that we talked about earlier. Yeah, yeah. It's still, you know, we think it's just touch, right? But you could stimulate a person without even touching them, you know, and causing those releases of those chemicals, dopamine and you know, phenylephrine, serotonin, vasopressin, norepinephrine, you know. And that's why I wish your wife was home, because she would definitely relate to all of those too as well. Yeah.
Well.
Oh, man, I know.
Well, anyway, I just want to say, wow, geez, that's, you know, this is the information inside the information. You know, it's like when you guys want to know about the studio, what happened when you guys recorded that song and that song. You know, this is the same kind of thing for me. I'm like, whoa, this is what's happening to my body as, as I'm like trying to or enjoying my time with this person. What is that chemical called when you don't enjoy that time? When you like get around them, every time you get around them, like,
The chemical is called no chemicals.
Like that's funny. Yeah,
that's funny.
No chemicals at all. Well, I want to hear your I want to hear the song that you want to play. So I'm gonna take a small music break and give you a chance to set your system back up and call back. And,
okay.
And then we'll come back to that. All right. So.
All right.
All righty. So Don, you want to play something? Or you want me to play something?
Man, you can knock it out for us.
All right. So thank you guys for tuning in today and hanging out with us with this special edition of Solar Records Radio. This is it. Normally it's an hour show, but the coach is on fire, and Don and I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
And the listeners are asking amazing questions.
It.
So we're just rolling with the flow. All right, guys. So we'll be back in a moment on Solar Records Radio with the coach. That's what I call him. We'll be right back. All right. Thus, my friends out there in New Jersey, ladies of Sky, oh man, much love to you guys. And I love their music, man. I'd like to jam with them sometime. And they know I said, if you need a drummer, call me. I'll get over there and jam out with you guys. All right, Coach, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so so you want to tell us a little bit about what you're going to play us?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you kind of told us a little bit about you were going through a breakup or something. And you couldn't break up with this person. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, that's what it was.
And the song helped you.
I couldn't break up.
Couldn't. Wow, that's crazy. What do you think that is? Are you addicted to their hormone?
That is when we have to go through detoxing.
Detox. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that's that process that we have to go through. And, you know, some people don't make it.
I know. And so they just end up staying in a bad relationship. Is that what you mean, they don't make it? They just end up staying in a bad relationship?
Yeah, stay in a bad relationship or either, you know, choosing, you know, another alternative as far as, I don't want to say trigger words, but. You know,
okay.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's, you know, they're just, you know.
Yeah, you know,
our bodies itself. You've ever heard when people actually lose a significant other, you know, they pass.
Right.
And they've been together for so long, and then, you know, 2 weeks later or a month later, that person passed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because their heartbreak, and it's really a true thing. Heartbreak is a really true thing. It's called Takotsubo Cardiomyopathy.
I don't know what you just said, but can you say it again?
Takotsubo Cardiomyopathy. Takotsubo Cardiomyopathy. It's a real thing. People end up passing because their significant other, they just can't live on without them. You know, it's a part of you that died with them, and you can't survive.
Mm.
And we just experienced that. Remember when the lady from Star Wars, her mom, you know, the daughter passed.
Oh, right. That's true. That's right. Wow. Man, you know, and I was just thinking that only happens in, people that are in love with each other in relationships like that. I didn't think about, like, a mother-daughter, I mean, which is even closer. And they were really close. And
yeah,
that's
broken
so,
heart.
Yeah.
God. Talking about Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. Yep. That's her.
Mm. Wow.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, that song was from the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Tony Braxton.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
So you
love it.
So once you play it, man, I want to enjoy it too. What's the name of the song, Coach?
Let It Flow.
Let It Flow. Okay. All right, so whenever you want.
You ready?
Whenever you want. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Knock it out.
Got no cause to lose. back. I'm looking for me a better day. See the things I love, that is not enough. It's the only thing that brings you pain. Comes a time when we could all make a change. Stop, just let go. Let it blow.
Let it blow. Let it
fly. Everything's gonna work out right. Don't nobody want no good time to lose out now. Ain't nobody gonna love me like you are if you take whatever he brings your way. Oh no, no, no. See the thing of it, we deserve respect, but we can't demand with a thing. Comes a time when we go our own way. Let's flow, baby. Let's flow. Everything's gonna work out right, you know. Let's go, baby. Let's flow.
That's relaxing. That's just relaxing in itself. I mean, just the groove, and it's kind of like, you know, to me, it kind of released. It has a releasing me from a stressful feeling. And so if you're in that situation where you're trying to be released from a relationship that you can't seem to break away from, I think that's a good song. I could feel like, you know, I'm just kind of floating in the air with that song. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally awesome.
Yes. So do you want to say anything else about that? I have another statement, question from the listeners, if you're ready for that.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So people that are in comas and they play music, does it stimulate their brain? Do you think it stimulates their brain?
Hold on, I'm going to switch on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, it's just amazing how music has an effect with autism too as well, when people
really
can't remember anything. And the minute they get on the piano, if they were an artist, they could remember the song. They could play.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember the young lady that was just that was shot recently? She was a politician. In Oakland, right?
Yeah, no, Arizona.
Arizona.
Are you talking about years ago? The one that was married to the astronaut. You talking about her?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who she's married to. But this was like maybe, you know, just a few years ago. A couple of years ago, actually.
But go ahead. What about
Yeah. And she had a problem with speaking and tonation and same words. And now they, music is being used for therapy. And to actually help people, and I think on one of my shows, somebody said the same thing. She said she couldn't speak, and then when she had music therapy, it helped her to be able to actually articulate. And you know, she's happy now that she went through it. And they thought it wasn't going to work, and this lady who the politician that got shot. They showed a video of her, and she was like really frustrated and everything. And she ended up, you know, speaking very well through music.
Wow.
And and there was another one too. I'll send it to you, where he doesn't remember his son, didn't remember, you know, his wife for just a couple of seconds. You tell him about it, and he'll say, "Oh mm-hmm. yeah," but you sit him down in front of his piano. And he will play that music like nothing's wrong with him. You're like, wow. And it's more and more studies. It's just the effect that music has on us when we are in a coma, when we are, and that's, you know, one of the things that they're trying to figure out, you know, how can we use this music even more to heal?
Yes.
And, just the vibrations and the frequency of the tonations, the waves, the music waves, you know, how we could use that as, you know, a direct target, you know, to the body, like, you know, the same way that they're trying to find a compound. That was one of the problems with medicine is that it doesn't just target, like, you know, if it's something wrong with my, you know, my baby finger, it's not going to just go to my baby. The compound isn't just going to target just my baby finger. It's going to target other places and target neurotransmitters that will say, I don't need this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you mentioned dopamine, Parkinson's disease, you know, if it's too much dopamine, that's not good for someone with Parkinson's disease. But when you're giving it to them, you know, parts of the neurotransmitter is going to say, I don't need this much dopamine. And that's why you hear now, again, I wish the gentleman's wife was on too. That's why you also hear, when you hear all of these side effects, when they tell you, legally they're telling you now the side effects, based on lawsuits, but the side effects is because the compound is going throughout the body.
Right.
So
right.
Imagine if we can do that with music, you know, if we could just take a dose of music and that music just affects the whole body. It goes everywhere and just heals the body, right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a compound. So, yeah.
Well, you know, there's a other things, like me being a producer, right? I have artists that I've never, it was shocking to me that he stutters so badly that, you know, he almost spits on you when he stutters. It's like, it goes like, it's so bad. But once he starts singing, he is like an angel. His voice is so beautiful. His tone, his comfortability. I mean, he's just singing, and it's so, and it's like, what? How is that possible? And I don't, like, how can you sing? And I told Manny, maybe you need to sing your conversations, dude, because he can, when he's singing, it is so good. It's so smooth. And then when he tries to talk, it's a whole nother thing. And is that a chemical that's causing this issue with, like, is he, when he sings, is there like a chemical that's released, or is it a nerve agent that, like, he's much more comfortable singing, and so he doesn't stutter? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, they're still trying to find out. There is new research on that, but it's still it's a mystery, you know, to a lot of us. But and that's what makes it's so interesting to do the research, is because when you actually see it happening, you're like, wow, how? What is this thing called music?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's a powerful entity. We know that. Sheesh.
It is definitely a power entity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, my one of the listeners posted a thing, said that people cry, and it's a hearing. They don't cry for the prayers. They cry for the hearing of the music, and the music that is associated with the person who has died, who's gone, you know. And and so they get emotional. The music is just so moving, and it is a powerful.
Yeah.
It's a powerful entity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's very powerful. And when he just said too about the, you know, listening to the music and thinking about, you know, your significant other as well, it's just so powerful, man. I mean, I could talk about,
right, forever,
you know, this music forever when it comes to this, the science of it too as well.
Yeah.
And the history, you know, I wanted to, I keep forgetting the gentleman's name. I'm so sorry.
Don.
My apologies. Don.
Is he there? I don't know if he's there.
Yes, I'm here.
Don. Okay. Yeah. So Don, I know that you teach history. So, there is a used to. Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say there's a, but it's still, you can get the book, the Sounds of Slavery, and there's CDs too as well. And,
the Sounds of Slavery.
Uh-huh. Yeah, The Sounds of Slavery.
By Graham White.
I think that's
Graham and Shane White. I think that's
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It sure is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty cool, man. Yeah. And they have, you know, I believe they have the CDs as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's just
awesome.
And Kindle and all of that.
Yeah,
okay.
I just heard them. I mean, I heard a lot of the songs, but somebody told me that they have them on CD too as well, that you can buy them. So,
okay.
But yeah, you know, and you know, hearing those lyrics, you know, back then, and you know, some people did the songs in the 1930s of what they knew of. You know, what they were singing, but man, it you know, this music is, it's when you just, you know, I listen to all music, and just to know that this was given to us, it wasn't something, you know, that we created, that we, that we invented, and, you know, this is something that, you know, they found bone flutes way back, during the prehistoric time, you know, that's how far our music goes back. So we know it's a gift. We know if it has these effects on us biologically, psychologically, that is given to us. And, you know, and I'm quite sure, Wardell, you know some verses, the sound of, you know, things that you can probably see in the Bible where
yes,
it used a lot of terms, you know, identifying with music. And just amazing.
Well, Coach, I want to thank you, man. Thank you so much for your time. We, my listener also said we can learn to love more with music. That would be great. That would be awesome if we could just learn to love each other more with music. And I agree with him.
Yeah.
100%.
I do too, man.
Well, man.
Yeah,
we,
I do too, 100%.
We are out of time, and we want to thank you for your time and appreciate you so much, man. We love you and appreciate you, man. And come on anytime, Coach. And I'm so grateful for your show, Love Songs and Love Lessons. It's a beautiful format. If you guys get a chance to go on to Clubhouse and check out the Coach, I mean, his show is amazing. It's
yeah.
I love to hang there, but when it gets heavy, I have to run because it's woo. Some of that stuff I can't handle. It's like, whoa, I can't. Just like with Don, when Don was talking about suicide, I was like, what? Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't. Sometimes it gets heavy.
Yeah, it's heavy. All right, guys. Well, we're up and out of here. And you guys all have a wonderful, Coach. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving, you and your beautiful wife.
Yes. And, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. And the same to you, Don.
Thank you.
You guys
all
be blessed and stuff. And then don't forget tomorrow, tune in as we celebrate our indie jazz artist. We're going to have Ty on tomorrow, a great artist that you guys are going to want to hear. Come and check him out. 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a wonderful interview. Thanks again for everything that you all do. Thanks, Greg, for all the flyers and all the stuff you're doing behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Much love, my brother. All right, guys. All right, Don. And Coach,
yeah,
good night.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Don.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.